each of our campuses that join us right now, especially our online campus. Fantastic to have you joining us too, no matter where you are around the world. Just great to be together. Are you aware that it was not Jesus who invented the idea of discipling people? Jesus didn't invent that idea. Jesus took up that idea. Have a look at this text here where it says from John chapter 1, John the Baptist we're talking about here. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. John was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. John had the capacity with those that he was discipling to point them towards Jesus so that they themselves would become disciples of Jesus. It's an interesting idea. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. In the Bible, the word disciple is only ever a noun. It's the disciple. There is never a verb in the Bible, discipling. Doesn't think like, who are you discipling? You know, that concept is not there. Disciple was an identity. Probably the closest we have in English today that parallels the concept of the process of discipling somebody would be an apprenticeship, where a person steps into an apprenticeship. If someone's going to do a building apprenticeship, when they step in and become an apprentice, they are not yet a builder, but they are learning, and it's the process. And so with the development, of course, of the English language, you know, someone could say to a tradie, who are you apprenticing? You know, so it becomes a kind of a process word. You have the apprentice and you have those who are you apprenticing. That's probably the closest we have. In the first century Jewish educational system, this idea of discipling actually finds itself embedded. It kind of got normalized in the society. So when a young person was going to get some of their early education, they'd go to the Bet Sefer, which would be run by a local scribe. By about the age of 13, they would have memorized the Torah, the first five books of Moses. How extraordinary is that? Now, most of the kids who'd graduate out of the Bet Sefer would go and join in whatever their family trade was. If dad was a farmer or whatever, you know, they would kind of, the vast majority would step into that. But some who had a bit more of a propensity in that way, they would go to Bet Midrash. And by the age of 17, they would memorize the entire Tanakh, the Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament. They would have the whole lot. How's that? Age 17. Remarkable. Most of those graduates would just enter back into society as well. But a small group, kind of the best of the best, they would find a rabbi that they felt kind of drawn towards. And there would be like an application process to a rabbi. It's only a very small group. And the rabbi would interview them and check them out and analyze them. And if there was a good alignment, the rabbi would say to them, come follow me. They would be invited to be a disciple of the rabbi. Can you see the parallels here? Now, there were three goals of a disciple, of a rabbi. Firstly, to be with the rabbi. Secondly, to become like the rabbi. And thirdly, to do as the rabbi does. So can you say that with me, just the key words, be, become, do. You ready? One, two, three. Be, become, do. And again, be, become, do. To be with, to become like, and to do as the rabbi does. So, at a certain point of being with the rabbi and learning from the rabbi to be with, to become like, to do as they do, at the certain point, they would have the opportunity to graduate when they were like the rabbi. It was that that framed up this statement from the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, where he says, students are not greater than their teachers, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. It's in that framework. It was the same if someone was apprenticed in a skill as a builder. They wouldn't graduate in a time frame. They'd graduate when they were as good as their teacher. So that was the framework. One first century saying that's made its way through to us is, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi, that you follow so closely that the dust of your rabbi found its way on to yourself. And then when the rabbi would be graduating their disciple, the rabbi could say to the disciple, because the rabbi could see that the disciple had become like them. They'd been with them. They could do as they would do. The rabbi would then commission them to go and do likewise. Go and make disciples. It's interesting when we get the language of the New Testament, because as Jesus ministered, you've got the crowd and you've got the disciples. You've got some who believed, but you've got this much smaller group that Jesus had invited to be with him. Now, you're all disciples, by the way. Oh, actually, can I say, whether you're a Christian or not, you're a disciple. The question simply is, who or what is discipling you? We're all being discipled by something. So for some, they will choose an influencer on social media. They want to be with them. They want to become like them. They want to do as they do. And for some, it will be a sporting hero. Like, there's all sorts. But if someone's going to be a disciple of Jesus, in contrast to simply being part of the crowd, they want to be with him. They want to become like him. They want to do as Jesus does. And the Lord Jesus actually used that whole framework in his own language. But we're all being discipled by something. This is a quote from Trish Harrison Warren, a New York Times columnist, where she wrote, none of us comes to what we believe by ourselves. The world has no free thinkers. And by that, we are all influenced. That's actually why I don't use the turn of phrase free will. If you kind of kick around theological environments, there's a turn of phrase free will that people debate around. I'm like, no one's will is free. It's captivated by a million different things. How about this from John Mark Comer? Every time we swipe our thumbs across our phones, what we are led to believe are just ads, news, retweets, and random digital flotsam are in reality mass behavioral modification techniques intentionally designed to influence how we think, feel, lead, shop, vote, and live. You are being discipled. You are being discipled. Who is your rabbi? Who or what is your rabbi? At Christway, we speak of our vision as to see a city, nation, and nations become disciples of Jesus. We state our mission. I've got these on slides later. Loving God, loving people, disciples that multiply. We seek in this family of God and through the influence of the ministry of Crossway, we seek to help people to be disciples of Jesus. And picking up those three goals, the three goals of a disciple, firstly, to be with the rabbi, so to be with Jesus. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, say it with me. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. That they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and have authority and drive out demons. He invited them primarily and initially to be with him. The second goal of being a disciple is to become like the rabbi, to become like Jesus. Romans 8:29, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. If Jesus is your discipler, If you're a disciple of Jesus, it's not just an emotional alignment. It's not just a salvific event where you put your trust in Jesus. You repented of your sins and you put your trust in Jesus and he's put there on the mantelpiece and you get a title that I'm a Christian, I go to church. No, at that point, you become a disciple of Jesus to be with him, to become like him. And of course, to do as he does. Romans 14:12. This is the Lord Jesus himself speaking. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, I should have put this in yellow, will do the same works I have done. And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. That is the discipling process. So there's our vision to see our city, nation, and the nations become disciples of Jesus, and our mission, loving God, loving people, disciples that multiply. That's why the first of our values says nothing matters more. Jesus is always front and center. We have a sociological statement which says there's room for you. Anyone can experience authentic community. We have a missional statement that says everybody gets to play. It's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. We have a faith statement. Dare to dream, because bold faith leads to innovation, influence, and impact. And we have a humble and responsive statement to God that says we take nothing for granted. We respond to God's goodness with gratitude and generosity. That is sort of in the fabric of this church. 2023 was an absolutely extraordinary year. It really was. 2022, if you can remember, 2022, the church was back open, the facilities were open, society was getting its mojo back, and we saw great growth through 2022, which was fantastic. In 2023, some things quite extraordinary began to happen. We opened our 24/7 prayer room. Back in 1995, when the chapel was originally built under the leadership of Pastor Stuart Robinson, the intent was always a place of prayer. And last year we dedicated a space. And if you've never used it, I encourage you to use the prayer room. You can book it online, that you'll see how to do it, and you get a little pin code. You can get in there. There's a space that's dedicated for prayer. And when you come into a space which is exclusively used for prayer, it is used for nothing else but for prayer. That sense of the presence of God in that environment is very real. Now, interestingly, as we gave ourselves, we sought to fix our eyes on Jesus in prayer. Look at what took place in 2023. The physical attendance at Crossway last year grew by 45%. Now, if you're not aware that that's extraordinary, that is absolutely extraordinary. And church online grew by 149%. That's more than doubled in size. We have roughly 16,500 people who come to church online on a weekly basis. It is the largest campus of Crossway by a long way. Steve measures that. People have to remain engaged for sort of 17 to 20 minutes for us to measure that. It's not just to flick past it. It's people who've stopped and participated and all those sorts of things. And if I can hold your attention for 17 to 20 minutes when you're physically in the room, we think that's legitimate. So that was quite extraordinary. And with the Church Online campus, can I say, it is a discipling ministry as well. Let me tell you the story of Jen. She started coming along to Church Online. She lives down on the Mornington Peninsula. And through Church Online, Jen chose to become a member of Crossway. She joined an online life group. She began to serve as part of the online team, so there's service opportunities with the online team as well. And then Jen chose digitally to come to the training we do, How to Disciple Your Friend Towards Faith in Jesus. And that really challenged Jen's heart and her paradigm. So she reached out to her boss, Mike, to see whether Mike would be prepared to read the Bible with her. And Mike said yes. So she started reading the Bible with Mike. She then invited Mike to Alpha online. But Mike just happened to live within striking distance of the Burwood East campus here. Mike put his trust in Jesus, and Mike has started to serve on our welcoming team. I didn't spot Mike today, but how cool is that? I'm just going to throw it out there. Mike, you don't happen to be in the room, do you? He'll hit one of these. No, not this service. That's awesome. So Mike, you might see Mike as part of the greeting team. That is just kind of what flowed out. Now, Mike is one person who put his trust in Jesus in 2023. You know, a large church in Australia these days is officially described as 300 people or more. That is what a large church in our nation is. Last year, by the grace of God, 445 people put their trust in Jesus for the first time. And that is worth celebrating. All glory to God. Only God can save a person. That is a conservative number because that is the number of people who chose to give us their name and their contact details and has a story saying, I've not done this before. That's the only way you can get onto that. It's not a hand in the back of the room or anything like that. It's those who take it a step further and give their details and indicate, I've put my trust in Jesus. That really is. So a large church was born last year of people putting their trust in Jesus. You should be encouraged by that. You should all be encouraged by that. Some of you will be in this room. Last year was your year. Last year, 140 people were baptized at every campus. And it's worth me saying this. Every campus saw people come to faith in Jesus. Every campus saw people being baptized. You know, that sense of the move of the Spirit of God is palpable and real. When I went to the Maroondah campus, the launch of the Maroondah campus launched with 7 people getting baptized. I remember when Edie and I were up at the Oak City campus. God bless you, Oak City. And when we're up at Oak City, and remember when we worshiped outside that day and we're there when three young adult folk got baptized. And since then, there was another service where another few people got baptized. Over at Brighton, people getting baptized. The Southeast, people getting baptized. It's like just that sense. The online campus, a lady who came to faith at the online campus in Spain ended up flying to England to join one of our hosts in England, our online hosts, so she could be baptized in England. There you go. That's an expensive baptism. Like, I said I'd go over to Spain and baptize her, but no. Two new campuses were started last year. I already mentioned them with Maroondah and Oak City, which is just really awesome. And that's pretty exciting. This is still the look over the shoulder. 566 people joined a life group. Our life groups team told me in January last year, for the month of January, 55 people asked to join a life group. This year, 95 people asked to join a life group. Like, quantumly higher. It's fascinating watching what's happening. 520 people started to serve in a new opportunity with Team Crossway. And so Team Crossway, you know, where we say everyone gets to play. It's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. Over 1,600 people serve on Team Crossway at all of the different campuses. And then you've got life care, which accounts for more than a quarter of our global budget is directed through life care to help people who are in need. Thousands of people are assisted. And whether that's to do with the Family Violence Centre, whether it's to do with the food pantry because people's cupboards empty, whether it's subsidised counselling or psychological services, whether it's with Coach. So we run Coach locally. You might not realise this. Coach has got Kids Coach, Youth Coach, Family Coach. There's Chinese Coach, Indigenous Coach, Financial Coach. There's a shower bus. The shower bus, and there's a team around the shower bus so that people who are living rough on the streets and in the parks can have the opportunity to have a shower and some food and dignity given and relationship developed. I know Otto, who works on the team with the shower bus, Otto invited half a dozen of the guys to come and do Alpha. Multiple of the guys invited to do Alpha who are living rough put their trust in Jesus. See, all of these different ministries committing to people who are in need, and then being a resource church out to the nation. So over 200 churches across the nation, I think it's 205 right now, utilize Coach, which is community mentoring, where we help to train up the leaders in the church so they can be community mentors to people who are doing life tough through all those different opportunities. It's fantastic. I think we now have, last time I heard, 10 Chinese churches that are using Coach, because it's in Chinese as well. And it's just great what's taking place there. Building a discipling culture and empowered faith communities. Currently have over 100 churches that we're working with, but collectively, because we work with them for a little season and then they kind of graduate out, but more than 220 churches have participated in building a discipling culture and empowered faith communities. A quick word of challenge to us as a team. We had external funding that helped us to make all of that possible. But I learned just a few days before Christmas that external funding has been turned off. That's a genuine challenge for us. And I just want to put the word out there for those, and you know kind of who you are, you have more income than you know what to do with. You might even have a family trust or something like that, and you choose what you direct it to. That initiative is about the renewal of the Christian faith in our nation. We're currently closing 500 churches a year in Australia off a base of roughly 10,000 Protestant churches of all their different denominations, tribes and traditions. 5% of churches in our nation close annually. And we only plant, as a whole nation, 100. So that's a worthy investment. And if you are in that kind of situation, and you know you kind of disperse funds in different directions, always it will be to a good cause. No one throws funds at an unworthy cause. But if you have the capacity to get behind that idea, because that is a genuine challenge for us right now, and it is a brilliant initiative. Edie contacted a church that had graduated 2.5 years ago from building a discipling culture. And before they were coached, in 5 years, it's a church of about 175 people. And in 5 years, they'd only ever seen one person put their trust in Jesus. Eddie coached them, and just from that coaching cluster, in 6 to 9 months, they discipled 3 people to faith in Jesus. But they've been out now for 2.5 years, and we went, I wonder what the ongoing impact is. So she reached out to the minister and said, how's it going? And he said, in 2023, that church saw 12 people put their trust in Jesus for the first time. Just, can you even just imagine? And he said, there's a whole lot of people getting ready to get baptized. He said they had multiple discipleship coaching clusters inside the church. It's a revolution. It is a revolution. And it's certainly worthy of our investment. But we've got a bit of a challenge on that one right now. Over 1,000 big boxes of kindness were distributed through the various campuses, through different ministries, partnering organizations. We helped pastor Currumburra Baptist through one of the toughest seasons. That little country church hit global news after multiple people died after eating a meal with poisonous mushrooms in it. Do you remember that? And Bill Malcolm, one of our team, Bill heads up our life groups department. For 12 weeks, Bill provided leadership for the church. He preached, I think, 11 of the 12 or 10 of the 12 weeks. You should have seen the thank you letter we got from them, with different people just sharing how much it meant for them. And so just being able to always see beyond ourselves, and we do always see beyond ourselves. We commissioned a couple more international workers, Matthew Kay with MAF, Joe Farron, who's going to be going with MAF. Great to see a couple of young men being commissioned into that domain as well. Now, in the context of such amazing impact and growth, financially we went backwards. Now, I understand it's tough times and interest rates have risen and cost of living is a challenge and all those sorts of things. Just in candor, did not change my giving patterns one bit and wouldn't, because the first of what I earn, I give to the Lord. That's His, and we adjust our lifestyle according to our various challenges at different times of life. That's always been in my habit since we're married. So that's a little bit of a challenge for us, because let me just very, very candidly say to all of us, finances are not Crossway's challenge. There is more than enough finance, just we're holding on to it. Honestly, Crossway has more than enough, more than enough. And as one of the wealthiest nations in the world, that for me is simply a discipleship issue. The attitude that we bring to our resources, how we choose to adjust our lifestyle so that the work of God is well resourced. So amazingly for me, while physical attendance grew by 45% and online by 147%, giving only adjusted by 4%. And I just want to candidly acknowledge also, frequently people arrive before the giving patterns arrive. That's actually pretty normal human behaviour. Just kind of check in it out, and I understand that. And also it's possible to look and say, look, Crossway is kind of big and it's got a lot of opportunity. Like our messages, this message, but all of the messages from Crossway, Burwood East, I carried to 186 countries and are viewed by between 2.5 and 3 million people on a weekly basis through Trinity Broadcasting Network. We don't make a big deal about that, but the reach is expansive. This ministry is worthy of your financial investment. I think you need to see it that way as well. It's a financial investment for the glory of God, the expansion of the kingdom of God in an environment where Christianity Australia is having a hard time. Resource where there is momentum. So really quick now, because we actually call this week Vision Weekend, but there's always a context to it. I want us to understand at our core, we're about making disciples. So what by faith do we see in 2024? Well, today we open the 11:45 service and we think someone will come. We're expecting some folk will come, but we need to make space at the 10:15. It is bursting. 10:15 is bursting, and so it's time to open up. But it's not just about opening new services. We're also expecting this year, and again, we say this by faith, that 480 people will put their trust in Jesus for the first time. We pray to that end, and we're intending to plant a new campus. We're going to plant again, and I'm going to invite TK and Jess to come up to the platform with me really quickly. Let's welcome TK and Jess. Now, you'll recognise TK because TK heads up our creative arts team and stands on the platform here. You might not know Jess so well. Jess formerly has been a Crossway staff, but now works with Alpha. We're going to plant.
Tell us about it. Thanks, Dale. So we're looking to plant a church, and the goal of this campus, and the goal of this campus is to, as Dale said before, to see the city, the nation, and nation become disciples of Jesus. And so we plan on doing this by Alpha, and Alpha is going to be a key driver in bringing people into a relationship with Jesus. We share a special heart for second generation, the community, and what we mean by that is kids, youth, young adults, adults who were born in Australia, but their parents were born overseas. And so you've got the Australian culture that they grow up in, but also the country of origin culture that they brought up in. And at some point in their life, it intersects and it kind of collides. I'm a second generation Indonesian. I grew up in a church where there was a whole heap of second generation kids. And by the time we reached uni age, I would say about 90% of them left the church and ultimately left faith because of that collision. We've been youth pastors here at Crossway, and we've seen the same trend lines in second generation kids. And so I dare say there are people in this room and families in this room that resonate with some of the stuff I've just said. And so our heart with this campus is to build a campus and reach out and connect in with those people of second generation and just bring them on a faith journey to know Jesus again.
Good on you, TK. We haven't landed the exact location yet, but we're looking at somewhere probably between Box Hill and Camberwell in that kind of general region, and we're doing a lot of work on that. TK and Jess, and there's already a team who are forming around them, but there will be a presence in the foyer all day today. If you'd like to have a chat to them, you could be a founding member of a newly planted campus. And we are hoping to do that in
August.
All right. August is kind of, we're launching in August. Good stuff, guys. Bless you both. All right, I need to bring this plan into land. We have church planning, campus planning in the DNA. And so while our Southeast Campus and Brighton are both looking to plant a new service inside their existing, both Maroondah and Oak City, our newest campuses, have it on their radar. Probably not this year, but in the near future, they are hoping to plant themselves. And then our online service is looking to plant. We've already got life groups all over the place, but they're looking to get life groups planted online in Southeast Asia and in North and South America. And we, as Pastor Mark said earlier, we're looking to have some increased numbers of 24/7 across the whole church prayer events. You'll hear more about that as they come up. There is the powerhouse. There is the powerhouse. This year, our theme is fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes. Not that our eyes are broken. It's like fixing your gaze. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Because at the core of the core of the core of who we are, we seek to make disciples of Jesus who want to be with him, who want to become like him, who want to do what he does. Would you please stand as we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to you for your incredible love and goodness to us. We stand in awe at all that you have done. Father, we hear in your word that we are co-workers with Christ and that we get to yoke up with you, Lord Jesus. And we want to do that. We want to make a difference in this world. And for all of our campuses and locations, Father, we pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit. Even now, Lord God, as lives are surrendered to you, meet with them, move, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Father, a baptism of fire, a baptism of your Holy Spirit that brings life on the inside to people. Lord God in heaven, help us not just to be part of the crowd, help us to increasingly become disciples of Jesus. We bless you and we praise your holy name. And all God's people agreed and celebrated a good God. Amen. 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 God bless. Thank you. Thank you.